What if we told you there is one thing you could start doing today that could divorce-proof your marriage? Does it sound too good to be true? Today, we have some honest conversation about our attempts to connect with our partner and how one small move can increase or decrease the likelihood of divorce.
You're listening to Honest Women, the podcast for every woman who's trying to juggle the relationships, roles, and responsibilities that come with modern womanhood and finding it all just a little harder than she thought it would be. We're your hosts, Andrea Berkeley
and Jessica Hutchison, your new besties who just happen to be therapists. And while we believe that life is hard and there's no tip or trick that will solve that, it does get just a little bit easier when we can be real with each other and talk about it honestly.
You're listening to Honest Women.
Hello, Andrea.
Hey, Jess.
Okay, question for you. How many times have you watched us on YouTube?
More than I'm willing to admit on recorded podcast.
Yeah, it's like a go and I'm like, ooh, we got another view. And I'm like, crap, it's me.
It's true. But hopefully one day it will be our listeners, right?
Everybody listening to this podcast, you can go to YouTube and actually see us while you're listening to us. However, I checked us out on YouTube after a friend of mine told me it was hard to find us. So I did a little research and I went to YouTube and I typed in Honest Women Podcast. And guess what it auto-corrected to?
What?
Hottest Girls Podcast.
What?
Yes. Hottest Girls Podcast. I have so many thoughts about that. But first, let me just tell our listeners to make sure when you're looking for us that it does not autocorrect to hottest.
Oh
that
my gosh.
It stays with honest.
Also, I just want to say that I am offended, YouTube, that you would not pull us up for Hottest Girls Podcast. I mean, I'm not really going for hot this morning. I've got my headband on. I'm playing a little more like Blair Waldorf. But if it was like a Cruel Intentions thing.
Ooh, it could be a little Cruel Intentions. Like a little, right?
But still, I'm offended.
Right?
But also, yes, just find us. We're honest. And
we're honest.
Maybe not as not hottest.
This is probably why so many kids see things they're not supposed to when honest autocorrects to hottest.
Right. That's fucked up.
So go to YouTube, type in Honest Women Podcast, make sure it stays there. And what do we want them to do? Do that thing you do.
Oh my gosh. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. I can't.
I love it. It's my favorite thing. And one of my friends actually said it to me the other day. Like and subscribe.
I can't even deal with myself right now.
Oh my God, I love it.
Also, if you don't usually go to YouTube for podcasts, just make sure that you follow us wherever you actually are. So if you listen in Apple Podcasts or Spotify or some other podcast app, just follow us there. So that you don't miss us. Because I don't want you to go to YouTube, find us, the Hottest Honest Women, and then subscribe over there because you love us and maybe even leave us a comment because you like want us to feel good about ourselves, which would be really nice.
I love it.
But then like not get us because you're not over there. So just like wherever you are.
Wherever you are. Mm-hmm. Like, subscribe, follow, all of the things.
Comment, so you review, can hear us. Send us to people. Do all the things.
You can do all the things. And they're in our show notes as well. So if you fast forward through the introduction and you don't hear this, but now you're listening a few minutes in, go to our page and we have in our show notes all of the places that you can find us. They are there for you. So my husband and I took a short trip with the kids for a long weekend, little getaway, which gave me the opportunity. Are you ready to listen to podcasts?
Oh, look at you.
Are you so proud of me?
This is actually a secret. I don't think everybody understands why this is a big deal.
I know.
Go ahead.
Jessica doesn't really listen to podcasts.
You listen to ours though, right?
Yeah, I listen to ours all the time. It's the only one I listen to. I know. I'm getting better at it. Okay.
Good for you.
It's adding it into my daily routine here. So I was on some really beautiful walk. I started listening to an episode with the Gottmans, which we will talk a little bit about who the heck they are for those who do not know them. But I have to be honest, I'm listening to them speak about some things that I know about. And my thought to myself was, crap. Oh my God, I'm not doing any of this in my own marriage.
Oh, yeah. That happens sometimes.
Because one of the biggest misperceptions about therapists is that, one, we have our shit together, right? Mm-hmm. And two, that all the things that we have studied, we read about, we learn, we just automatically implement into our own lives. And therefore, it's great, wonderful.
I mean, we'll get into this more soon, but I think that the notion that just learning something or learning it once will allow you to do it and do it perfectly when you're activated and in relationship and whatever. No, that's false.
Do you want to tell them who Julie and John Gottman, who they are?
I do. Julie and John Gottman are some of the premier researchers in couples, relationships. And what they really got started in was doing research and being able to predict which couples would get divorced based on, it got down to like a really small amount of interaction. It was like 6 minutes or something like that. That in their relationship lab, the Gottmans, their researchers could watch a couple for like just this little bit of time and then say with like pretty high accuracy who was going to get divorced. So because of this, they've become some of the leading voices in marriage, therapy, in relationships, in everything. They're everywhere. And yeah, I have thoughts about that.
I know you have some thoughts of that. Let me ask you a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Would you step into, I believe they call it their love lab, with your husband?
Fuck no.
Thank you. Thank God you said that, because I was thinking the same thing. Nope. Don't want to know. I'm good.
No. Yeah, we're good. Thanks, Gottman.
We're challenging that, Gottmans. We are not going in your lab. We don't want to know. It's like if somebody can predict the future, I don't want to know.
Right.
Tell me how I can fix shit now.
Right. Will you die a horrible death? No, thanks. I don't need to know that. Well, especially because, and this is my issue, that then the Gottmans used that information on which marriages would fall apart to kind of reverse engineer the kind of behaviors that you would need to have for your relationship to succeed. But I think that they offer a really simple solutions.
And what we know and why we kind of started this podcast too is it's not simple.
No.
But it's talking about topics that are much more complex than we give credit to.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, there are little things we can do on a day-to-day basis to help our marriages.
So true. Yeah, I think for a long time, I rejected practical advice because I was like, that is not how people work. Don't tell me to make a love map with my partner, because that's just not what plays out in our day to day. That is true. However, understanding why complicated things happen and negative things happen, that needs to be there. But then also you have to do the things, the simple things, the nice things. You have to do the things. And in some ways we can let ourselves off the hook a little bit. Like, oh, I understand the deep reasons why we get stuck in this cycle, without then being like, and I have to stop being such an asshole.
Well, and to be clear, like if you go back to our, I think it was actually called 10 Tips to Fix Your Marriage.
Yeah.
It was kind of like one of those. We talk about little things that you actually can do today, with a caveat, mm-hmm. though, that it's not going to fix the foundation of your marriage, but there are, mm-hmm. little things you can incorporate today.
Yep.
This episode is similar to that. It's a concept that can help in your day-to-day marriage, but it's not going to, mm-hmm. fix a broken foundation.
Right. You need both.
Exactly. So Julie and John Gottman have coined what we now call bids for connection. Bids for connection are very much practical little behavioral things that I heard at one time that I poo-pooed all over. Hence why I'm listening to it and then saying, crap, I should be doing some of these things today.
Yeah.
So what is a bid for connection? According to the Gottmans, it's any attempt from one partner to another for attention, mm-hmm. affirmation, affection, or any positive connection.
Mm-hmm.
According to them, they show up in very simple ways a lot of the time, mm-hmm. like a little smile, a little wink, or they can also show up in just more complex ways, like, hey, can you help me out?
Yeah, said in a nice way.
Correct. That's a very important one. So they might take on the form of an expression, a question, or even a physical outreach.
Mm-hmm.
They can be funny. They can be serious. They can, mm-hmm. even be sexual in nature.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. Whoa-whoa. That will be a future one. Now, in general, women tend to make more bids than men.
Yes. Because these are just like comments, right? This is just relational things. This is just the patter of the day. That's
correct.
As I look at this list, that's what I see.
Give me a couple examples.
Okay, this is a dumb one, but, you know, it's sometimes sending or sharing a funny little video, an Instagram reel, a meme, you know, you send that over to your partner and then you ask something like, did you see that dog video? And yes, unfortunately, this is a big part of how we connect with one another.
I'm so happy you brought this up because she doesn't know this, folks. This was the exact reason that I said to myself, crap, 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 crap.
I did not know that.
I know. I was thinking about all of the times my husband has sent me a silly little video mm-hmm. or like come into the, you know, other room and said, oh my God, you have to see this. It's so funny. And I reject it. Like bad, mm-hmm. almost like from a, how dare you think that I would want to see that stupid video?
Oh, I love the videos.
Oh, I love, gosh. But I'm like, this is what actually got me to wanting to do this episode is my own thoughts about how much I have rejected my husband's bids for connection.
Yeah, 100%. I think when, you know, he says like, hey, can we sit down and talk about the calendar or what do you think about this thing that's happening?
Wait, your husband asked to look in the calendar?
Only at the like when things are really disastrous. I can also ask that, right? So when I say, hey, can we talk about the schedule for this weekend? That's a bid for connection.
Yes.
It would not be received as such. Similarly, me saying something like, I'm so wiped out today. That's a bid for connection.
Yes, it is.
And it is not well received in my world.
So there are three ways that you can respond to a bid. Mm-hmm. Number one would be turning towards, so you acknowledge mm-hmm. it, right? Mm-hmm. I look at the video and I say, oh my gosh, it's so funny. Thank you for sharing mm-hmm. it, right? I turn towards. Second one is turning away, so mm-hmm. I ignore it or I just miss it. I don't know, like mm-hmm. in your example, that was a bid.
Right.
Or three, we turn against, which mm-hmm. is rejecting the bid in argumentative or a belligerent way. Stop interrupting me. I'm trying to read here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, outright, aggressive, right. Direct. I think if I'm being self-reflective, 9 times out of 10, I don't know, I'm making a bid. I wouldn't describe it that way. Mm-hmm. And I miss every bid that my spouse makes. And it's not just our spouses. It's our kids too, right? Oh, yeah. I just think about what it's like for me when I, you know, toss over a little question. You know, this is a great example. This morning, we're in the kitchen. My husband's clearly sort of working on something, but I walk in and I'm like, oh yeah, I heard about this thing on a podcast. Or gosh, I was worried about something with one of our kids. I'm really worried about this thing that's happening. He's doing something else, but I'm trying to connect with him, right? Mm-hmm. And that moment where like, if he puts down what he's doing and he turns and he looks at me, it is like amazing. But most of the time, you're just like kind of continue what you're doing. And we were in the reverse, like 3 minutes later. I was sitting there typing, preparing for this episode, and he's like chit-chatting with me. And I'm like, how can I ignore this more obviously, right? I'm not interested in stopping what I'm doing.
Yes.
Right, right. And I just think about, for me, that's the most destructive. Not only is it the most common, because an aggressive, outright rejection, like I'm doing something right now, I can be like, you're a dick, right? Or he can be like, God, what's wrong with her? But if you continuously ignore me, or just like, it starts to make you feel like you don't even exist.
Yes. Okay, hold that. I just took a note because I want to come back to that because it's so important. So let me geek out for just a hot minute. The Gottmans conducted a study with newlyweds and then they followed up with them 6 years later. Many of those couples 6 years later were still together and many of them divorced. The couples that stayed married were better at one thing, and that was turning towards one another. And at that 6 year follow-up, couples that stayed married turned towards each other 86% of the time. Mm-hmm. Couples that divorced averaged only 33% of the time.
Oof.
Right? Oh. I know. This is why I'm not getting stepping
into your lab, Gottman. No.
We're
not going to your lab.
Hell no, not doing it.
Also, don't you think it would be so different if we were in the lab and my husband was like, da-da-da, I'd be like, oh, what? You know, but if I'm doing something at home, which honestly, I think this is part of the problem, is that I've been doing something since the minute that we had children. There's just like no margin left. I'm always doing something. He's always doing something. And there's just that sense that we're both making bids, but we're also both missing them so often.
So often. And I think mm-hmm. what you're speaking to is how indirect they can mm-hmm. be. You know, this concept of bids, I very much rejected it years and mm-hmm. years and years ago. It was just like, whatever. Now, as a 41-year-old, I embraced it so much more because I now looked at some of the silly things that my husband mm-hmm. will do as a bid for connection. I have to own it. I was not seeing that as his way of trying to connect with me. And then yeah. feeling actually pretty bad because I will say not only did I turn away, I probably did it from a place of like criticism. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about seasons of marriage because mm-hmm. that is what I think happens is that bids for connection in early marriage are much different than later when you become yeah. parents.
Absolutely.
So how do you see these bids show up in your office or in your personal life based on where you're at in this season of your marriage?
Well, if I just reflect on, this season, no, I'm going to go back. When we were dating and first married, the whole damn thing is a bid for connection. And every single thing that they do and every single thing that you do, you're like, there's space for it. There's desire for it. There's like, connectivity for it. You know, there's like excitement around it. Every single damn thing that one of you does, it's like you're very focused on it. You give a lot of positive connection and you're noticing at a high level how someone responds. And to be fair, if someone wasn't responsive to your bids for connection or they didn't offer a lot of them, you probably wouldn't get together. Like you'd go on a couple dates and be like, burr. I think most of us who end up married had a season where we were really into each other, making a lot of bids for connection and a lot of positive bids, a lot of vulnerable ones, right?
Absolutely. There was less time invested in it. It was mm-hmm. less risky at that point, meaning there probably mm-hmm. wasn't a long history of feeling rejected. And so each time we leaned in, we probably were more apt to get the response we needed, hence why we ended up getting married in the first place.
And I think that it was also more risky, especially at the beginning of the relationship. Okay. Like, you know, when everything that you do is so loaded, and you're like, how are they going to respond, right? That's that early stage of, you know, woo-woo when you start being with someone. And so I just think it's heightened. Like there's more awareness around it. It's like everything's mindful and amplified when you're in this early stage together. Don't you think?
Yeah, you're trying to – well, you're right. You're trying to like put your best foot forward though too. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be rejected. So essentially there's less rejection between the two, but there's more emphasis on not wanting to be rejected.
Yes. And back in the day when we were dating, we didn't have so many distractions. So when I was with my soon-to-be husband, we were together to have fun together.
Yes.
So that time was really set aside. It was just a lot easier.
When we fast forward a little bit to kids come into the mix, mm-hmm. bids change. I think that oftentimes the bids from women can mm-hmm. change a little bit more than maybe the bids from men.
Yeah, tell me more.
Meaning, like my husband sharing a silly little video is something he would have done 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, we haven't been together that long. So not 20 years ago, but like 16. Yeah. But that has not changed mm-hmm. how he tries to get that attention from me. Mm-hmm. You know, he has a wonderful sense of humor that when we're traveling, just me and him, I remember how much I love. Mm-hmm. However, when we're in the midst of everything in our house, it drives me bonkers. But what I've noticed since listening to this podcast is a lot of his bids are the same as they've always been. Mm-hmm. But I respond to him a lot different. And now as a mom, my bids are a lot less, I don't know, sexy or cute or attractive.
Nice.
And nice. They're much more like logistic. Help me out here. The 6-year mark, I would love to know how mm-hmm. many of those couples had kids that got divorced.
Yeah.
And how many of those couples who stayed together did or did not have kids. I want to know that variable because I think as a woman myself and inside my office with couples that I see who have, you know, younger kids, I see this confusion a lot with like husbands saying, but you used to love that about me or you mm-hmm. used to love that I did that. And then the wife mm-hmm. being like, well, that was 10 years ago. Like, grow up. Right. This is stupid.
I also think that I just feel like this touches on resentment. It touches on the mental load. It touches on the imbalance in the workload in families where there's children especially. And I think that if men don't evolve a little bit in their bids, it's missed.
Yeah.
And I think that if they don't see their wife trying to coordinate or even trying to share a difficult load as a bid, then all of the wife's moves towards their husband in a logistical way gets lost as if it's just logistics. And this list makes me think it's not just logistics. Saying, hey, can we talk about the calendar for the weekend? That's a bid. And if I don't get credit for that bid when I'm running a million miles an hour, you know, if that's not seen as partnering, or if I say, God, I'm so exhausted, and I'm criticized for that, my husband rolls his eyes or is like, well, when aren't you? You know, I'm not saying that he's done that, but plenty of husbands do.
Mine has. I have too.
We all have. But it's when we don't count these things as attempts to connect and we say, oh, it's just logistics. Well, it's not just logistics. We have to work that shit out, right? Yeah. And we have to be able to coordinate better so that we can function. And if we function better, guess what? There's more room for positivity and gentleness and fun and levity, but all the bids count.
Because they're not as direct, can we go over the calendar together? That is not, hey, I really want us to be on the same page this week. Can we go over the calendar? So when that's not there, it's easier to miss if we don't know what the other person is wanting. In the podcast I was listening to, actually, it was Brené Brown. She gave a beautiful example that I related to so much. And she said how many times she's missed her own husband's bids for connection because of the story she tells herself. So she gave the example of working. Her husband comes in and says, like, hey, take a look at this. And she would do what I would probably do, is be kind of critical, snap at him, like, I'm in the middle of something, and go back to it. And she said what she noticed is the story she was telling herself is, he does not respect my work. I am trying to work. He comes in and wants to distract me. He has no respect for what I do. And it was like, whoa, mind blowing, because it spoke to how important not only the miss is, but the story we then attach to it.
Yes. And in emotionally focused therapy for couples, we would mention that that is part of the perception or the attribution, right? It's the meaning that we make. So again, I think part of the problem and why the idea of bids is both brilliant and just insufficient is that most couples, by the time you're in the trenches, right? Like, you've been married for a while, you have kids, you're in a cycle of disconnection. And something as simple as, you know, from a pursuing partner to a withdrawing partner, something as simple as, I really want us to be on the same page about this weekend. Can we talk about the schedule? Is interpreted as, what? You don't think that I know what's going on? Oh, you want to tell me what to do? Oh, like, you just want to own all that, right?
Yes.
Negative. And so a lot of times, you know, a woman's making bids to try to coordinate, and a man is perceiving that as, she doesn't think I'm good enough.
Yes.
He's taking it as a slight, and that causes problems. And then he's not very nice and doesn't make enough bids to start with, you know, or he comes in with a stupid squirrel video and you're like, dude, you know, you are not nice to me, right? It's just the cycle that grabs on, the stories that we tell, the additional meaning that's assigned, or the lack of repair that we make,
which is a big part of it.
Right. And if you haven't listened to our episode on repair, on apologizing well, go back and listen to that. It's on YouTube.
Yes, it is. It's, you know, and that's why Andrea and I ended up becoming trained in emotionally focused couples therapy, right? We believe very much it was getting down to, like, the nitty gritty, like getting down to the raw stuff in order to change the foundation versus implementing these behavioral things. However, I will say that these little things, noticing my own husband's attempts to connect with me. Mm-hmm. I have become more aware of those, and turning towards him has significantly mm-hmm. helped. I will say
100%.
That. 100%. But again, it's the expectation that we attach to it. If you right. are in a really bad cycle, a cycle is kind of what we refer to in emotionally focused therapy lingo. If it's mm-hmm. just a state of distress, no. Like bids of connection and turning towards and that is not going to fix it. Again, right. this is something small though that you can do. And I'm telling you, I've had a lot of people, mm-hmm. people tell me that looking at their partner, noticing them when they walk into yeah. the room, which we talked about in our episode, our tips that we don't do, but mm-hmm. we did episode, significantly changed the temperature in the room.
It absolutely does. And that is one of those things. Like none of these tips or tricks will fix a foundational problem.
No.
However, you still have to do these things because it changes the environment. I just think that we want to acknowledge that these things become hard to implement. Like this isn't a simple solution.
No.
Turning towards your partner isn't simple when you have a lot of criticism or a lot of blame or a lot of withdrawing and disconnection. It's like you both still have to do it, but you're climbing up a mountain that's icy in your flip-flops and you're like, why isn't this solving everything? Well, because you've got an environment, you've got a cycle, you've got so much weight on everything that you do that's making this feel less effective. And you still have to do it. You still have to try.
Yes. One thing I want to talk about as we're kind of getting close to wrapping up today's episode is how can we, me and you, so we're not necessarily telling our listeners, but we kind of indirectly are, how can we take this information today and implement it in our own marriages?
Yeah. Okay. Again, practical, but this actually just came up this week. I was sitting on the couch working, and this is a big problem because I do a lot of after school childcare when my work is not done. So I'm in the midst of everybody, and I'm sitting there in the middle of something, and my son actually, so not my husband, but my son comes up, and he always starts something like right in the middle. He'll say, I just don't know about this thing with my friends. And if not for thinking this through, if not for understanding that as a bid for connection, I would have been like, okay, buddy, like, and just kept typing. And what I did was I literally shut my computer.
Look at you.
I was so proud of myself. I was like, he's trying to connect with you. I mean, what a gift from my 13-year-old son.
Oh, yes.
I need to see that as gold. And so I think the thing that we can do first is attempt to recognize these. I noticed this with my husband. He texted me the other day. I had texted him to ask him if he had cut me strawberries, and he texted me back that the kids ate all the strawberries and he had tried. And then later that day, he texted me, how's your day been outside of the strawberry situation? He's almost always the one who texts to ask. I mean, our job doesn't really give us enough flexibility in the day, but he texts to see how I'm going, and I saw it as a bid. And so I want to recognize these bids. I want to give them the credit and the weight that they are due. And then when they come in, stop what I'm doing and literally turn towards them. And if there's tech involved, close the computer, put down the phone.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. And here's what I have started doing is I have started paying a lot of attention to the story I tell myself and really mm-hmm. looking at, is that accurate? Is that right. true? So I love to play factor fiction with myself. Is this factual information or am I creating a really not great story in my head? A lot of times it's a not great mm-hmm. story in my head that blocks my ability to turn towards. I also will say that I've learned to be a little bit more direct. Mm. Me saying, can we go through the calendar? Mm-hmm. I know how it's heard now versus I just want to make sure we're on the same page. I mm-hmm. want you to feel in the loop.
Yep.
The response is different.
And I think making little bids that are nonverbal that just change the environment. We talked in our tips about marriage about like non-sexual touching, yes. like just more affection, adding some of that into the day. If every time I walk past my husband, I look at him, or if I touch him as if we walk past each other, then when I say, can we talk about the calendar? I want to be on the same page as you. He believes it. Versus if I just have my eyes down, we don't touch each other at all, there's no affection in our day-to-day, then it's like, oh, good. Sounds like fun.
So here's what I'm going to do. One, go to our show notes. We're working on those. We'd love feedback, but I'm going to put a couple questions that are in there that are Gottman questions. They're not mine, from their inventory. That might be a good prompt for you, the listener, to kind of do some inventory on yourself. A couple examples of them are, what do I know about how I make bids? Or what is my impulse? What is that story I tell myself that makes me turn away? So I would love for you guys to go there and check that out, because Andrea and I firmly believe that these conversations are best and more beneficial when they aren't just content to consume, but we want them to be a jumping off point for more honesty in your own life. Because honest reflection and conversation is the first step to real connection with yourself and with others. Thanks for joining us today on the Honest Women Podcast. If you loved what you heard, be sure to subscribe or follow us on your favorite podcast app. That way, you'll never miss out on our honest conversation. We're all about spreading the love, so why not share the podcast with the amazing women in your life? You know, the ones who would appreciate knowing they are not alone. For more behind-the-scenes fun and updates, follow us on Instagram at Honest Women Podcast. We'd love to connect with you there. Got something to say? We are all ears. Drop us a line at hello@honestwomenpodcast.com or visit our website at www.honestwomenpodcast.com. Your feedback means the world to us.